You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. If you thought we had a less severe wildfire season this year, you'd be correct. According to CAL FIRE, as of this morning, 362,000 acres have burned so far this year. That is just a fraction of the 2.5 million acres from last year and over 4 million acres burned in 2020. That's a pretty significant decrease. But why? Our fire season is basically year-round. Our summers are hotter, our winters are unpredictable, and the weather is getting more extreme. All the while, the push to combat or curtail climate change continues as much of the world, not all, but much of the world, works on new agreements, laws, regulations, and incentives to get consumers and industries off carbon-fueled energy and into greener habitats. To help us understand is Michael Wara, senior research scholar at the Stanford Woods Institute for the Environment. Good morning, Michael. Thanks for joining us.
Morning. Thanks for having me, Vicky.
So before we get started, just for context, can you explain what you do at Stanford?
Sure. I run a program that uses and educates our graduate students by sort of putting them to work, working on real policy problems, doing analysis and providing high quality insight for policymakers, and also in service of kind of underserved stakeholders, environmental justice advocates, tribes, folks like that in the sustainability process.
You also are part of consulting and collaborating with policymakers, you know, about crafting new laws, rules, and regulations as they relate to climate change. What are some of the big challenges that you face here in California?
Well, I think the two big ones we face really are reducing our impact on climate change, right? Figuring out a way to be a prosperous, growing society while we don't destroy the planet. And at the same time, adapting to the changes that are coming at us, especially in terms of our water supply and wildfire.
Yeah. You touched upon equity as part of your mission, and you were quoted in the Stanford Daily that in terms of finding solutions, you know, to combat climate change, it needs to be accessible for all, right? You need to create solutions that create abundance and create affordability, but you also caution that that's the challenge. Can you unpack that for us? What is challenging about making solutions towards climate change equitable for everybody?
Well, I think the reality is in California, you know, many people, probably most people, are struggling just to get by, and they want a better life for their kids and for themselves and greater security. And the solutions that we craft to deal with carbon dioxide emissions and other emissions of greenhouse gases have to make that situation better, not worse. And that would sort of be the benchmark that I have, is we actually need to, by solving climate change, make regular people's lives better than they are now. And that can be hard because new technologies, you know, when they're brand new, are expensive, right? Like electric vehicles are more expensive than regular cars, internal combustion engine vehicles today. That situation is evolving rapidly, though. And what California can do is help to put these new kinds of technologies into the hands affordably of the people in California that have low income for various reasons and maybe are struggling to afford the cost of housing and all the other costs of living around here.
California sets ambitious goals when it comes to climate change, and that is obviously consistent in the last legislative sessions, even with new laws. But there was this new legislation that was passed to bring the state to net zero carbon emissions by 2035. That's not really that far away. It's right around the corner. Do you think that we can actually reach that goal? Is that realistic? And if so, why and how?
Well, it's easy to get these targets a little bit confused. Net zero by 2045 is, I believe, the goal, which gives us an extra 10 years, which is good. Depending on your perspective,
right? Suppose.
But yeah, I mean, I think we're going to need it is the reality. The goals that California has set are incredibly ambitious. And, you know, they really are, you know, at the forefront of kind of global thinking about this. But I'd emphasize, you know, the targets and the timetables are really important. The real challenge for California in the next few years is going to be implementing, right? Actually doing things in the world, building new kinds of power plants that don't pollute the air, shutting down the ones that do pollute the air, especially in environmental justice communities, and, you know, forging, you know, kind of doing the hard work of implementation, which in California in particular is challenging, right? We all know it's hard to build housing here. It's hard to build lots of things here. But what we need to do for the energy transition is basically rebuild our lots of our energy infrastructure. Not all of it, but a lot of it.
When it comes to the federal arm, the Federal Inflation Act, which was recently signed by President Biden, there is some funding attached, right, to fund clean energy goals. How would this benefit California?
It makes everything cheaper that we need to do. And that is incredibly significant. The inflation reduction, well, the first, the infrastructure framework legislation funded demonstration projects, which, you know, some of which may happen in California. I hope that they do. And then the Inflation Reduction Act followed that by locking in tax credits for a number of the key technologies. You know, I'll just mention one of them. This summer, we had a close call with the grid. Many people may remember the heat wave and how, you know, that you were getting a text message to turn down your air conditioning and all this. You know, we squeaked by in that situation, largely because we've deployed a lot of energy storage in the state of California over the last couple of years, since the last time we had a big heat wave and there, the grid was really stressed. And the Inflation Reduction Act, for the first time, creates a standalone tax credit for deploying that kind of battery storage. And that's going to make it cheaper across the board. It's going to make it easier for California to keep doing what it has been doing under the Newsom administration and just putting batteries out in the world so that they are there when we need them, right? We have to deploy this new technology before we shut down the old stuff or we get into trouble, right? And that's exactly what we're doing in California. And we just need to keep doing it for the next, you know, for the duration, really.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about climate change for decades. Do you think that there has been a significant shift in really the political will to do something about it in recent years?
I do. You know, as I look at the November election, you know, one of the things that's really striking to me is that if I've been doing this stuff for a while, since the early 2000s, and, you know, back then, Senator Manchin made a campaign ad shooting the climate bill with an AR-15. And that was a good campaign ad for him. This year, Congress passed historic climate legislation, and it was a non-issue in the election, right? There's no Republican saying, we need to repeal that, like Republicans made a career out of saying about the Affordable Care Act. And I think that really shows how the conversation has shifted. Everybody is experiencing these climate impacts. And that means that we're not maybe doing the things that I would like to do. Many of the more progressive side of the aisle might prefer, but we're doing things and they're big and we need to keep doing them. And I think the situation will improve.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and we're speaking with Michael Wara, Senior Research Scholar at Stanford's Woods Institute for the Environment. So we had some decent systems move through our area over the last, you know, several days, and there's a nice base of snow packed in portions of the Sierra. That also has us talking about wildfire season. I mean, it was just a fraction of acres burned when you look at just 2021 back to 2020. Is there something that you can pinpoint that you think helped curtail and curb this year's number of acres burned?
Yeah, actually, it's quite clear what did. You know, we were headed into the dangerous part of the season. You know, if folks think back to when the Napa Sonoma fires and the Camp Fire and the big fires the last few years in Southern California occurred, it was mid to late fall. And in mid-September, as there was a very dangerous fire burning in the Sierra, the Mosquito Fire, we got a big rainstorm that basically ended the fire season in the Sierra. And then, fuels reduced the fire risk in the Bay Area, which is also a really vulnerable place. And so, you know, we had some good luck this year. And, you know, we also worked to make our luck as a state. We've been spending really unprecedented amounts of money trying to reduce fire risk. But for that effort to really pay off, we're going to need to sustain it for the better part of a decade, probably. And so we're really in the beginning phase. And I think we're not at the place yet where our investments really fully protect us from fire. We're doing the right things. And that's a huge step forward, really doing the right things at the right scale for the first time ever, perhaps. But it takes time because there's so much backlog of work to do to create fire resilient communities. And so it's great that we had some luck this year. We sure deserved it after the bad luck that we've had for the last 7 years. So, but I think we should not, at least let me put it differently. I don't count my chickens. I don't think we are safe or resilient yet. And we should pat ourselves on the back, in particular, the state of California, the governor and the legislature should pat themselves on the back for all the work they've done to provide resources so that we could make a big start on fire risk in the state. But we have a long ways to go.
Yeah. And when you're talking about investment, I mean, and also just kind of the growing pains with like really investing an unprecedented amount of money into forest management. You know, one of the realities is that, and you were part of a story that Cap Radio Scott Rudd did a few months back, and this is the component of the National Forest Service, particularly in the Caldor fire in El Dorado County. I mean, they had a mitigation plan that was created years ago, upwards of two decades ago, but it fell short of completion, and it possibly could have avoided or reduced the destruction of the Caldor fire, particularly in the community of Grizzly Flats, which was largely destroyed. I mean, this is just one of many high fire threat communities across the state and more broadly the West. Is there a bigger lesson or takeaway beyond what happened in the Caldor fire?
Well, you know, I view the reporting that you did and that Cap Radio did, Scott Rudd did, is kind of like, it's almost, it reads to me like a tragedy in the sense that everyone knew kind of what was going to happen and still they could not prevent it. And you know, ironically, just this fall, the Forest Service was finally doing prescribed fire in the Grizzly Flats area. I noticed that on the prescribed fire maps that are put up every day. And, you know, I just wish that that could have happened 2 years ago, you know, and before this fire. I think on the federal side, right, so it's important for listeners to remember that the Forest Service in particular owns about 45-ish% of the forest land in California. So it plays a really important role in what happens in terms of fire policy. And there are some big opportunities coming up this year that I think the California delegation is going to focus on to make that situation better. In particular, the Farm Bill is up for reauthorization. And you might not think of the Forest Service as belonging to like the farming part of the government, but you know, the Forest Service is part of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And that means the rules that determine how spending happens and what programs exist within the Forest Service are part of the Farm Bill. So I think the California delegation and the Western delegation in Congress is going to be really focused on trying to create better programs through the Farm Bill to help California and the West do better on fire. And yeah, That's a really important opportunity.
Yeah, finally, as I asked you about climate change and there being a shift potentially in the political will, it seems like that's the case as well when it comes to wildfires and forest management, shifting from a culture that historically has been fire suppression to actually reintroducing good fire back into the landscape.
Yeah, I think, well, so one thing to say is one of the things that's really interesting to me and unique about wildfire policy is it really is pretty bipartisan. Most of the legislation that I've provided assistance on over the last several years in California has passed by wide bipartisan majorities. That doesn't usually happen on issues related to anything having to do with natural resources or the environment. Similarly, in Congress, I think there's a lot of opportunity to work across the aisle on this issue and really craft constructive, productive solutions. And, you know, that's because everybody cares, right? It doesn't matter if you're in a red area with trees or a blue area with trees. If your town burns down, it's not acceptable. And so I think everybody is really rolling up their sleeves to find productive solutions. That being said, I think it's really important not to forget what happened in New Mexico this year. Right. So we did not have a bad fire season in California, but in New Mexico, it was one of the worst fire seasons ever. And one of the worst I think the largest wildfire in New Mexico history, it was incredibly disruptive, was started by a prescribed fire and it was not fully extinguished and then kind of blew up months later and caused this fire. And so I think there are positives and negatives pushing toward kind of better management of our forests. The reality is, especially given climate change, we are going to need to learn to live with fire. And that means we have to choose the fire we want to have and not let nature choose it for us, because nature's not going to do us any favors.
Michael Warr is a senior research scholar at Stanford's Woods Institute for the Environment. Thank you so much for the time, Michael.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. We're back in just a moment.